Turn now in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. We are reading this evening Isaiah chapter 1, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 31. Isaiah chapter 1, starting verse 1, these are the words of our God. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? And the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it. Only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. Not pressing out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot. She who is full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water, your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, Ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. I will also turn my hand against you. And will smelt away your dross as with lye, and will remove all your alloy. Then I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you will be embarrassed at the gardens which you have chosen. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. The strong man will become tender, his work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn together, and there will be none to quench them. Thus God's word. So, having finished Joshua and Judges, Samuel and Kings, those books that are called the early prophets in the Hebrew Bible, we have seen how Israel clearly failed in its history, Judah, and failed in its history at keeping covenant with Yahweh. These books served as the evidence, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. That was the evidence of their covenant breaking. The book of Isaiah is written, the other prophets are written as well, for the purpose of bringing about the charges and judgments because of that evidence we find in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. The book of Isaiah is written during the reigns, it says, in the first verse, during the reigns of Uzziah, who was a king who did right in the sight of God, except for later in life he faulted by his pride. During the reign of Jotham, also good, he was a strong military leader and builder. Ahaz, who had no redeeming quality, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then Hezekiah, who brought revival according to the word of Yahweh. Now the book itself we know has book ends. You know what book ends has? The same theme, same wording at the beginning as it does at the end. We see in verse 2, as that's the beginning of Isaiah. Verse 1 is the introduction or the context, the vision. Verse 2, we see that Israel revolted against Yahweh, rebelled against Yahweh. And then if we were to look at the very last chapter, chapter 66, the very last verse of the book, the same word is used, revolted, rebelled. And that's what the entire message of Isaiah is bound up in, the rebellion of God's people. Five times in chapter 1 alone, this chapter, we see the word of rebellion, revolting. Verse 2, verse 5, verse 20, verse 23, and verse 28. To describe Israel's fate, there at the beginning, starting in verse 5, it gives you a picture of a man who has been beaten almost to death. That's what Israel looks like. That's what Judah looks like. And yet, that man who has been beaten almost to death still wants more rebellion. They still want to go after revolting against God. He will not listen to the voice of rebuke or chastisement. Judah's heart is hardened. They deserve worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. You see those words in verses 9 and then following verse 10. He even calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. They should know better. Their worship they have added to God's commands for how to worship Him. And so He calls that worthless and an abomination. Then you get to verse 18. And Yahweh is calling God's people to talk with Him. He says, let us reason together. That is His extension of mercy to His people. He wants them to think about what He's about to say. And then He includes grace in a violent picture of murder. That's what we have in verse 18. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. The picture of murder, the violent picture of murder there. As scarlet and crimson are the color on the murderer's hands in verse 15, verse 21. The covenant that has been broken, we remember from Deuteronomy 30, the blessings of keeping that covenant and the curses for breaking that covenant. And God offers mercy here. And this offer of mercy is couched in terms of blessings and curses. Those who obey God's invitation will be blessed, verse 19. Those who remain hardened and stubborn will be destroyed, verse 20. And so there it is before you, verse 18, the offer of salvation through Christ. Because of your heinous sin, you think through it. That's what he's calling Judah to do. That's what he's calling you to do, to think through your heinous sin. And he wants you to reason, to think about it. Do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? You have two options, very clear, verse 19 or verse 20. What do you want? Do you want the blessing of God or the wrath of God? If you are reasonable, you would choose blessing. And therefore you would choose salvation and obedience to God and to stop the rebellion through your sin. Then he goes straight back to rebellion in verse 21. Israel had played the harlot. The glory had departed. Instead of reflecting the beauty of Yahweh, Israel bears the marks of the beast. They hate good. They love evil. God's people had no love for the spiritual things of Yahweh. Is that you today? A lack of love for the spiritual things of Yahweh. A lack of obedience to Him through Jesus Christ. Redemption will come to the Lord's elect, but judgment will come first. He says in verses 25 and following, the refiner's fire will come first. And so in summary, God is about to take Judah, His apostate church, and shake her. It will be a devastating experience. That's what He's telling them here at chapter 1. But for those who heed His offer of mercy and grace, even going through that devastating experience, it will prove a blessing. So God desires in His mercy and His grace to revive and reform His church. And so we ought to pray for such now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this, Your Word, which reveals our sin, reveals our rebellion, our hardening of our own hearts, where we have sins, we have covered them up, we have not cared to think about upon them, some of them, perhaps all of them. And Father, You give here an offer of mercy. Because You want Your people to follow after You. You want the church, the visible church, to follow after You. And to love You. And therefore be blessed. And so You give this offer of mercy and grace through salvation in Christ alone. The promise that though we are heinous sinners, murderers, stained with crimson and scarlet, You will, through the blood of Christ, make us white as snow and like wool, clean. And Father, either we can receive Christ and be blessed, or we can continue to rebel and harden our hearts and be cursed forever. The promise for them is as true today to us. And so, Father, we ask that we would choose blessing, that we would choose Your Son, that we would choose salvation in Him alone, that we would choose to be white as snow. We ask in this that You would send Your Spirit to do that great work in us, for we cannot do it ourselves. And yet, Father, even in the church, even as Your people who believe in You, we still have some amount of rebellion in us. Some hardness of heart, and so we ask that You would break it. You would crush us so that we can be built back up, that You would refine us and through this fire and bring us about in the end refined and pure. Purer than gold. Pure like Your Son. Father, we ask that You would in the church throughout the world, You would bring great revival So we ask that you would send your Spirit to do a great work as the gospel goes forth, that many, many people will be saved. And Lord, in your church, we ask that you would reform us, to bring us more into conformity with your word, and not in conformity with the traditions of men. We ask that we would turn from those traditions which have no foundation in your word at all. And even those which have foundations in parts of your word and yet are not fully in conformity with your word and how you would like to be worshipped and how you would like to be praised and exalted and how you would like us to live. Father, we ask that you would turn us from our half-faithfulness or minuscule faithfulness and make us fully faithful by your word alone. Cause us to have our foundation for all that we do upon your word alone. And so we ask that you would bring reformation to us and to your people throughout the world. We ask that you would be with those who are in the midst of persecution, great persecution throughout the world and your church. Lord, strengthen them for the task to bear their testimony even before the threats of death. And prepare us for a day when we might have to experience the same. Father, we do pray for our government. We thank you for giving us them. We know it is a blessing, for you have ordained them to be there, and therefore it is for our good. And yet, Father, we often grumble and complain about it. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Cause us to learn better how to serve those who are in office above us and authority over us. Cause us to grow in our sanctification, that we would not grow in sinful anger or bitterness towards such people. Rather, that we would pray for our enemies. That we would pray for those in authority over us. That we pray for them to be saved. We even pray for our election in the state of Kansas coming up soon, and in all the states soon, that you would bring about godly men and put them in the office where they need to be. That your word would be reigning in their hearts and they would rule according to your law. Father, we ask that you would be with our families. We know that we deserve to be consumed by fire. We know that our children and our families deserve the same, and yet we ask that because of your Son, you would heal their bodies. Those who are sick, those who are hurting, those even in their souls who are struggling, we ask that you would strengthen them and encourage them in Christ Jesus. Give them hope in your Son and in the promises. Lord, hear our prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.